What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Put It In H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Now, Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well, Terry, and you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Now, you're probably all a bit confused out there. Wait, what's this? The Simpsons? Look, like I said, we're in a bit of an off-season tour, so we decided we'd... Well, we had no ideas what to record for this week. So then we said, why don't we just dip back into... We've been threatening it. We said we'd dip back into a Simpsons ep that now, we haven't done.
And I will say, I was so glad that you were on board with it because we were originally floating out. I mean, we got some great suggestions, but they're very long. Like the pay-per-view. Terry wanted to dip into the Oscar pit again and look for some Oscar movie. I was thinking that's definitely 2 hours plus. So it was lovely. I can't tell you how lovely it was that my research for this was a 22-minute episode.
Why everything's just so busy. You know, everything's just so busy these days. Never mind anything else that's going on in the world, which I don't think we should get political. But
I think this pod is always served best as an escape from the real world, to be honest.
Absolutely. So, but, you know, I hope everybody is coping okay with recent stuff out there and it's not getting too heavy for you or anything like that.
I mean... What the hell? Do you remember when nothing used to happen? Do you remember when just like, if you weren't into politics or, you know, reading stories about the latest financial scandal, I mean, generally nothing happened. Or if they did, it was like 10 years apart or something.
We're living
like.
Through the history books.
Yeah. I seen a good tweet and I was like, that was a great 2 weeks where we weren't living in unprecedented times. What do you got there?
I cracked it. I've got a... House of Pale Ale.
That's a stupid name.
Well, I don't think that's the name of the beer brand. I think that's the name of the pale ale. It's Tuoi, if you can see that there.
Excuse me?
Can you see that with my virtual background?
It's kind of blending into the forest. There you go. House of
No,
pale.
Above the House of Pale Ale.
Oh, like, Tuoi. Okay.
Yeah. See?
They're just, just making it up.
Well, look, this is, for any of you that are alesmen like me out there, this is the shits. That's the wrong way to say it. The shits is a bad thing. This is the bollocks.
Singular.
This is the bollocks.
Excellent. Well, look, I can't compare. I've got my old apple and blackcurrant here. Listen, fresh off, I tell you what, I'm just going to get this out of the way. Liverpool only won the League Cup.
Don't want to talk about it, mate.
I'm not going to talk about it, but let me just tell you.
Let me just talk about it, though. I'm not going to talk about it.
But what a game of football. And I tell you, I was very low energy today, all day. And when this by the end of this match, I'm zipping. I'm buzzing now.
Good for you.
You know? What a win.
I haven't. I wouldn't know what it's like in 5 years.
You remember.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
I remember when
then?
I had my first beer. It was my birthday last week. Tuesday. Thank you very much for the kind message you put up.
No problem.
And quite prophetic. It was a put it in H message. And here we are.
Maybe that's what got the wheels turning.
That was a nice time. I got some nice gifts. I got... Got the Licorice Pizza LP soundtrack. LP, vinyl. I mean, that's what Licorice Pizza is, Andy, if you didn't know. LP stands for Licorice Pizza.
What?
Because they make it out of wax and it looks like a pizza.
LP stands for long play.
Licorice Pizza.
No, it doesn't.
It's the slang. Look it up.
Is it?
Look it up. Blew my mind.
What does LP
No, what does licorice pizza? What does licorice pizza mean? It's another name. It's a nickname.
All right.
We could see your face.
I guess I'll take you at your word.
I mean, where am I coming up with that?
I don't know where you find your sources.
I got the soundtrack and I got The Last Waltz on Blu-ray.
How many Blu-rays do you think you have in your collection? Have you counted them?
Or would
you
have a ballpark? I would say 50, maybe 50. 60.
Okay.
I'll tell you now, I have a drawer, right?
Okay.
And the drawer, let's just do a quick one here.
Okay, no, there's really no need.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
So,
more
folks.
Like 80, I think, then.
Okay.
If that's right.
Yeah, well, we're talking.
That can't be right, though. 80 Blu-rays?
Yeah. Would you think more? Less?
Less, probably, I would have thought.
No, you're a bluesman.
Yeah, I am a bluesman. But so, you know, I'm yet to watch The Last Waltz on Blu-ray, but it was a lovely, lovely gift. And then
got
a few bits of money to go towards getting a phone and stuff like that. Like, so.
Hello. And what new phone did you get?
I say new phone. It was the cheapest Samsung I could get my mitts on. Like
A10?
A30?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess 30 is better than 10, so, you know.
I guess so. I have the A10. Yeah.
This one cost me. This is the fucking problem, right? This is with phone companies in general. I went up Saturday morning up to the Omni. I was like, three have screwed me over because I tried to like buy a new phone when my other phone broke. And I was using one of those new, in the interim, I was using one of those new Huawei phones.
Oh, yes.
That doesn't like cooperate with Google or anything like that. Uh-huh. Like, so it was a nightmare. But it was free, so I was using it. So yeah. I was like, need to be able to use my apps. Like, I couldn't use my Bank of Ireland app on that Huawei phone. Like,
really?
No. And everything is done. Even if I wanted to do my online banking on my computer, it's like a two-stage authentication.
Oh,
so it's
like
you need your phone. I'm like, I don't have my phone. I got to set it up on somebody else's phone, don't they?
That's very annoying.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, good to have you back on the grid.
Absolutely. But I went to Air and it was like online. It's like a Samsung, I don't know. It looked like a nice phone. S29 or something. I don't know. I was like, oh. And it was like
S20?
I don't know. It was 130 or 140 when you changed over to Air. And I was like, oh, that's like a decent phone for, you know, relatively cheap price. And then I went in to the shop and it was like, that's €229. And I was like, no, like I want to swap over. And like this is, and he's like, oh, yeah, but that's only online. In the shop, it's €229.
Yeah.
And I was like,
they're fucking bastards.
I'm like, sorry? Like, what? And he's like, yeah, no, it's the same phone, but I have to charge you €229. And I was like, okay. And I was like, Faye and Bonnie, like, were just following in behind me because, like, we parked in the car park and we're letting Bonnie kind of ramble around as opposed to having her in the buggy. So Faye's like, you go on in there. I was like, okay, guys, we have to go. And she was like, you're not getting your phone? I was like, no. It's like, this man can't help me.
Start unpacking.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, I ended up being like, right, I'll just fucking stay with three. And I'll just go and buy a phone there. Went up to get the A30 that I have. And it was like 119. And I was like, okay. Yeah. And it was like, yeah, on your current plan, that'll be €150.
What?
And I was like, what? What's my current plan? I was like, well, you're on the old prepaid €20 top up plan. On the
That's
new
I'm
one.
On.
Yeah, she's, I'm on that now. I'm still on it, but it was like the new one is you don't have unlimited calls and texts to three. You have for a certain. I'm like, do I still have all I can eat data?
They're like, yeah, all I want.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, yeah, grand. Well,
great. Change. I never send text messages ever.
Yeah,
so
or no call anybody. Like, yeah. So I was like, yeah, just give me that one there. But it was like the reason, and then I kind of remembered why I didn't do this because it was like I just topped up my credit last time when my phone broke. I'd literally put in €20 and they're like, now you lose all your credit with that. I'm just after topping up £20 and they're like, yeah, you lose that.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, fuck you. Everybody's ripping me off.
They'll be bopping and scatting and I'm losing.
I give them the old Scroogey here.
All of a sudden they got you on your back like a turtle.
I was just very angry for large portions of yesterday being like, I just take my money. I just want to buy a phone.
I know.
Like, Just give me a phone.
Very frustrating. I hate having to fight with people to give them my money.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like,
I had a very, just to jump on the back of that, I had an issue in work in Power City, of all places. And I tell you, we had to get a new laptop. And
Power City Coolock, like?
No, Power City Carrick Mines, near where I work.
Oh, more than one?
Yeah, loads, yeah. But I went to Power City because Currys is better, but like you can go into Currys and be like, yeah, I'd like to buy that laptop right there. I'm like, Grant, just grab someone on the floor, and like there's never anyone available. Yeah, yeah. There's like two guys and like 50 people waiting to talk to them. And so I go to Power City because you don't get that. But anyway, this laptop during a conference just like started going like it just went black and turned off, and I had to turn it back on. I did it again an hour later. So I brought it back and they wouldn't give me a new one. They wouldn't give me a new one. They were like, okay, we have to do a test just to make sure it's broken and all. So I had a big argument with two people in the store about that on a Friday, the last thing as well, on a Friday before going home. So I was raging. And then I got a text over the weekend, your laptop is ready. I was like, ready? I was like, I told them I don't. I was like, I have no confidence in this laptop.
Yeah.
You know, and all this. And so I come back, someone guy hands me the box that I had handed in. I was like, no, I don't want that. And it was a whole big thing. It's gone to head office now because they keep saying, yeah, we couldn't find a fault with it. And I was like, well, that's more worrying then, because there was a fault. And anyway, I get so stressed in these situations dealing with these techies. But anyway. Just wanted to jump in on that. What else has been going on, Terry?
I tell you what, I went to the movies on the Monday. I went to the movies on the Monday before my birthday. So my birthday was on Tuesday. I went on the Monday. I went to see The Tragedy of Macbeth.
Oh, yeah.
Directed by Joel Coen of the Coen brothers. Just one of them.
Same.
Sorry?
Of the Coen brothers?
Yeah.
Same. The same.
Starring Denzel, it turns out. This is something I learned this week. That it's...
Excuse me?
That was my Alexa going, saying it's bedtime for Faye.
Did you set that?
No, she set it up. One night I was just here and it went off. I was like, huh? It's like, oh yeah. That's to remind me to go to sleep. Starring Denzel Washington.
Oh, okay.
It's not Denzel, apparently.
What?
On the Graham Norton show a few years ago, apparently it's Denzel. It was all over like Twitter and TikTok and stuff.
He's changed it to Denzel? No, it's
always been Denzel.
But he's just started correcting people now?
It wasn't even that. It was just like Graham Norton was asking him about it, and he was like, no, it's Denzel. Yeah, you know, and like he's like, oh, everybody calls it Denzel. He's like, yeah, no, it's Denzel, though. Like, I don't mind. Like, yeah, but okay. He is phenomenal.
I would expect nothing less from
him. But Andy, like, this is so, like, you know the way it's shake a spear, watch out, shake a spear. So it's all old English, but he has this way of, like, at times it's like fucking Alonso from Training Day, like, you know, that's like he's doing that. He has that Denzel-ness in it, where it's like, wow, how does he like still portray that when he's doing Shakespeare, like, you know, like when he's losing his mind or whatever, you're like, ooh, he still has that, like, motherfucker, you know, that kind of like energy. Yeah, yeah. You're like, wowee.
He is phenomenal. I mean, it does seem like it's very easy to just sort of overlook it at times because he's been phenomenal in about 10 movies, like proper, like unbelievable performance.
It's weird that like he won 2 Oscars and you're like, 2 is probably too little. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, for him, like, you know, you're like, oh, well, like...
Who's won the most Oscars for, like, best actor or actress? Sorry.
Day-Lewis has 3.
Okay.
I think Meryl Streep might have the most, or tied for the most.
They don't say actress, though, do they, anymore? They don't
they
say
do,
best
yeah.
actress.
They do, yeah.
I thought that's a bit dated.
Well, it's, like, you're kind of narrowing the field if you... Like, you could say best actor male, best actor female.
Yeah.
They might go that way, but they still have 5 nominees for each one.
Okay.
Day-Lewis has won 3 for best actor. Nicholson Meryl Streep, I think. Nicholson has won three. I think one of them might have been for supporting actor, though.
He won one for As Good As It Gets as well, didn't he?
He won As Good As It Gets was his last one. And then it was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Terms of Endearment, I think, was the other one. Okay. James L. Brooks Connection.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
But yeah, like, I don't know, like, this, you know, you're like, oh, Will Smith and his Oscar. Like, I haven't seen King Richard. We can't speak on it, but like, looking at it, like, he's not laying a glove on this performance at all. Like, and again, it's Shakespeare, you know what I mean? And like, I find that he found a way to make it conversational almost. Like, I will heartily say, I do not understand every line of text in Macbeth. I've seen the play three times.
Yeah.
I've seen two or three different film adaptations of it. Like, that would be the one Shakespeare that I would
feel is the least accessible.
Most accessible, I would say.
Oh, okay.
But, like, I still find any Shakespeare, I'm like,
I don't understand.
But I get what he's saying. I know that he's angry, or, you know, like, and you pick up a couple of things in each
sentence. That's the thing, reading it, I was like, I may as well just be reading a random collection of words. Like,
might as well
like
be watching Mank, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, without seeing people acting it, I don't know if this translation means he's angry, means she's...
Did you do Macbeth for...
Yeah, we did. I couldn't tell you, like... That's couldn't good. Tell you what it was about,
but it's shot in black and white, and like the way they shoot it, like, literally the first scene is like just like mist,
okay.
I was like, oh, somebody's gonna come out, walk out of the mist towards the camera, you know?
Yeah.
And then like you see a bird, and I was like, oh, we're looking up at the bird, okay, great. And then like you see another bird above that bird, and you're like, oh no, I'm looking down from the sky, like, just, and without even doing anything, it just kind of like plays with your perspective.
Like, yeah. Oof,
what a picture. Great filmmaking.
Great. Like, Terry, it hasn't even started yet. But look at that film. You see, they've already got you thinking, Faye.
That's like, that's me.
Brilliant.
Great.
I love it. What did you give it out of 10, or what did you give it out of 5?
I gave it 4.5. Or four, you know, like it was, and again, because it's like 1:40. Hello.
Okay.
It's 1:40,
and you're a big Coen Brothers nut.
Oh,
as well,
I am. One of these days, Andy.
We'll
crack that nut together. Let that be ours, and the rest of you nuts.
I can't wait.
Have you anything?
I tell you, after we were watching, or we were talking about our top 5 2000s comedies, I went back and watched a few of them.
Oh, yeah?
I watched Pineapple Express, and I watched Old School. Now, I will say that Pineapple Express actually held up better than Old School did.
Blasphemy, Andy.
I know. But yeah, I have to say, like, I thoroughly enjoy Pineapple Express again. And Old School, like, had its moments, but it's mad the difference now when you watch it again.
Who do you think, like, is the best performance in Old School? I was thinking about this the other day. Vince Vaughn.
I love Vince Vaughn. Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He's my guy. But there's something about Luke Wilson.
He's just funny. I don't know, like, why. Like, do you ever have, like, just someone who's just funny and you don't,
like,
even know why?
Even the bit where he slaps your man, he's like, I heard you had sex with a dog. He's like, he slaps him, he's like, oh, the hand up.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to him? Like,
I don't know. He's like, I'm handling it, and I'd appreciate it if you get up off my back about it. You know, and all this. Like, all
right, in front of my team. He's like,
yeah. Carry on.
I hear your Sunshine Square deal is totally fucked. John Locke.
But yeah. So I watched those. I watched a few of the new South Parks. They got better. See, I thought episode 1 wasn't great, the pajama one.
Yeah.
But episode 2 and 3 was pretty good. There was
The real estate was episode 3, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that one. You know, water bottle. Metal water bottle. But yeah, it was good. I've been back on a bit of a South Park kick, but I won't get into that because we've talked about that ad nauseum.
Yes.
Yes, we have. Anything else going on? Or
I watched a couple other things. Remember I was talking about Kimmy last week?
Yes.
So that was written by a certain Mr. David Kep, who you would know. Your family would be big into one of his big hits. Same guy that wrote Jurassic Park.
Hey, you. Okay. There you got me.
But he also wrote a little movie called Panic Room.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I hadn't seen it since it originally came out. Directed by your boy, David Fincher, of Mank fame.
He's no boy of mine.
Yeah. What a movie. Panic Room was fucking class.
Panic Room was great. Really? Panic Room was great.
And it was like, I was watching it, I was like, oh, Jared Leto is actually good in this.
I do remember liking him in it, yeah.
Cause,
a rarity. Know,
it was before he had got sucked up his own arsehole, I think.
Yes.
You know, like...
Dallas Buyers Club is what did it.
No, I think before Dallas Buyers Club. That
yeah.
They gave him the Oscar for that performance, did worse again. But, like, before that, he was still, like, that... What was his band? 30 Seconds to Mars?
30 Seconds to Mars, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... There was
I was never a fan, and I was like, I was into that sort of music, but I was never...
Pretentious, to say the least.
Yeah, wasn't for me.
Panic Room, though.
Yeah, great movie.
Forest Whitaker, like, in it. Dwight Yoakam, of course, the irrepressible country music star.
Of course.
But just, it was real... I love a movie where it's like one setting, and you're like... As a writer, almost, you're like, and how do I, you know... keep things interesting. Like, what's the next thing? They're in the panic room. Okay. How do we get, you know...
Yeah.
They're trying to what's get the them next out. Step? Yeah, exactly. Like, and how do you yeah. keep the momentum going and stuff like that? Really fucking good, like... Good yeah, little crime
thriller.
I haven't
seen it in ages, to be honest, but yeah.
It's on Netflix, an hour 50, I think, like, so...
Okay.
You know, again, another plus. Jodie, you kind of forget as well, like, how good Jodie Foster can be. And...
Yeah.
A very young Kristen Stewart. She plays
oh, really?
The daughter in it. Like,
no way.
And I have this theory on Fincher, because apparently he's the guy, well, he is the guy that, you know, loves, you know, hundreds of takes.
Yeah.
Until you're kind of natural or whatever. And then I'm like, he had Kristen Stewart when she was like a teenager. Now she's like, I think one of the most interesting actresses working today.
Like Kristen Stewart?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think so, no?
I haven't really seen... What I've seen her in, I haven't quite liked her in, but I haven't
what
seen
did you
any
see
of...
her in? Twilight?
Twilight, yeah.
Yeah.
And one or two other things. She was in something... I've seen her in something recently, actually.
Spencer? Played the Diana, Princess of Wales?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay.
I can't remember what it was. But
she's very...
I just never really thought of her. I kind of, you know...
I think she's a very good actress, but like...
Okay.
It's like... And then, like, Jake Gyllenhaal, after he was in Zodiac with him, like, apparently, like, he hated working with Fincher. Because he
oh,
felt like...
Oh, because of
like,
all the extra takes.
He felt like he
you
was,
have to
like,
do it again.
Yeah, kind of. But I noticed, like, after that, then, like, Jake Gyllenhaal starts doing, like, these weird, interesting movies. And, like, putting in these weird... I'm like, is there something to, like, Fincher, like, breaking your brain so you can
I was
going to
say, so Fincher broke him.
Yeah, and now look at him. He's flourishing, Andy.
He is flourishing.
Yeah.
One of the best actors working in Hollywood today.
If I dug in deep to this, I would find more instances of it.
You should. We should do a hot take, Blind Boy style, on our pod. Call it something else.
What's that?
It's where he sort of puts some historical, like, these pieces together to say, is this the reason why this happens, or something like that. Kind of like what you're talking about.
All right.
Okay. But very good. Okay. Anything else you got going on?
One more thing. Since we were talking about the Suicide Squad last
week,
I watched Peacemaker.
Ah.
Fucking hell, Andy. This.
Good, is it?
Ah. Oh, very good. There's. Okay. They're like,
John Cena starring.
John Cena. And he is incredible in it.
Like, good. I'm glad.
The way the character. They flesh out the character so much more.
Yeah.
Than the movie. But. It doesn't, you know the way sometimes you see like his character in the movie is kind of like a dickhead.
Yeah.
And he, I don't know, he's not a bad guy. He is kind of a bad guy, you know. Like he does a bad thing in him, like. You
but
know.
It's not that cut and dry.
No, exactly. But what the TV show doesn't try and do is be like, he's actually a great guy, you know. Like just like reset it, like because we're doing a show around him. Like there is parts of that where you're like, oh, this is why he is the way he is. But also like, there's a lot of like self. Like reflection in it, like his character, like he go and he's not afraid to like, as an actor and as the way they're writing it, is like not afraid to like get deep, or with like at certain points where like he'd be having almost like a breakdown and he's like, you fucking pushed everyone away, you're a fucking asshole because you're a fuck up, you've always been this way, like that kind of something that like I was like really impressed to see him go there as an actor. And like, I know we're always saying like him and The Rock or whatever.
I was just about to,
you could never
see
The Rock doing something like that though, could you? Like
The Rock has niched out a little like wing of entertainment that's just his, and we all know what it is.
It's there's artificial is what it is.
It's a bunch of CGI, it's a big like Hollywood jumping through buildings sort of thing. You're getting The Rock pretty much in every movie. You're not getting, you know, already I would say Cena is probably a better technical actor than The Rock is.
It's like definitely, like you say, he has his shtick. The Rock has his shtick, and but look, with this show, it's 8 episodes. They're 40 something per episode, for you know, 42 minutes or so, like, which is it is a big difference when it's an hour long.
It
mightn't seem that way, but actually like these are the perfect amount of, like, there's not very little padding on them. It has this kind of tone and aesthetic of glam rock, like his character is like always playing like fucking 80s cheesy hair metal is like his thing. And even like the credits, the opening credits are too like it's by a band called Wigwam, it's called Do You Really Want It, and it's like the, now like, you know the way if you're watching a show and you see the opening credits you might skip it, you know, and that whole skip intro on Netflix and Disney, like this one I didn't skip once. I didn't want it because it's just the theme song's so catchy. I think you can get it on YouTube where it's literally them doing it, but it's like they're doing like a synchronized dance to this like glam rock music, but they're all like straight faced. And I was like, that's the perfect tone for this thing. Silly, but also a bit serious. Like, and
what I was going to say, what platform is it on?
It's on HBO Max. So
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, so it hasn't come to Now TV yet, so I had to.
How did you see that? Actually,
do a bit of investigation.
I'd love to see it myself.
A bit of investigation there, Andy.
Oh, okay, interesting. That is something I'd be a little bit more interested in than some other DC spin-off.
This is because it's so low level as well. Like, he's talking about like how he knows everybody. Like when somebody's like, oh, he's like, I'm a superhero. He's like, you're not a superhero. He's like, I am a superhero. Yeah. And he's like, Aquaman superhero. He's like, fuck that guy. he's like having sex with women, men, whatever, that's fine, I don't care. He's like but fish, fucking a fish. Like, nah, that guy's a fucking asshole. Like,
have you seen Aquaman?
No, I haven't seen it. I don't know if he has sex with fish, but
I mean, he might.
I wouldn't blame the fish for having sex with Jason Momoa, put it that way.
Not at all. I would blame no one. Woman, or fish. Man or machine. I will say, just before we kick into The Simpsons, I have been watching a bit more Succession. I'm on season 2 now.
What about the end of that season 1?
Yeah, something else.
The thing about the thing where I was like, oh, this episode is going, like, there's a bit where he's in the car with somebody, and I was like, oh, this show can do anything. Like, there's a bit where he's in the car, and your mom was like, how mad would it be now if I just kidnapped you?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I was like, wow, that could, like, literally my mind started spinning then. I was like, oh, that could be what happens, you know, like,
then as you're mid thinking, yeah, that
something else happened without spoiling, like, hey, it for anybody. And then I was like, holy fuck. And you know,
it was brilliant. It was brilliant. And the first episode of season two, I thought was very good as well.
Yeah.
I heard season two is probably the best season.
Season two is brilliant. I think the quality of season two is more consistent. Season three, like, I had absolutely no complaints with season three. There's some of the episodes in season three you would say, wow, these are among the best episodes of the series. Like, the finale of season three was
brilliant.
There's even something that happens in the second last episode, and, like, me and Faye are watching it, and we were, like, screaming at the TV. We're like, oh, what are you doing? Like,
there is a few of those moments where you're just like, oh, what are you doing?
There's very few shows that can get you to, you know, react or engage with it like that. Like, you know, so, like,
that's the thing. And, like, we were the same. It was very... We were kind of putting it on and we were like, and then, like, by now it's like, watch another episode?
Yeah.
Like,
that's fucking class, man.
So yeah, I'll keep on with that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think they've started filming season four because it was such a long break between season two and three because of COVID and stuff like that. Like,
oh, was it?
Okay. It was a real long break and people were like, you can tell as well because they were one of the first ones that started filming during COVID.
Right.
So it does kind of seem a bit poddy, for lack of a better word. There's very few episodes where everybody is together. They're kind of split up, like, oh, he's in this location and these three are over here or whatever.
Yeah. There's not a big giant cast.
Yeah. So they're in their pods.
Interesting. Well, I'll be checking it all out. And I tell you, also, Peaky Blinders is back for another season. I'll be checking that out as well.
Big who cares?
This guy. Mm-hmm. It's great as well. You'd love it. I'll tell you what, mate. No, I'm not even going to do it. Terry.
Yeah.
Can I talk to you about The Simpsons, please?
Sure, sure.
More specifically, Terry, can I talk to you about the 16th episode of the third season of The Simpsons?
Look at
Homer
this.
At the Bat.
Season three, huh?
Huh? Who'd have thought we'd get here? You know, a personal friend of ours and the show, Bill Oakley, was saying during our one of our many conversations was that he thought season three was one of the most perfect seasons of television. I mean,
that's what he wanted to make season seven You know, it's actually Bill Oakley's birthday today, I think.
No way.
Maybe I'm a few hours behind on my Twitter, but I saw people... give them the old happy birthday. So happy birthday, Bill.
Happy birthday, Bill. I know you're out there listening. Yeah, happy birthday, B.O. No.
Boakley.
Hey, Boakley.
This episode was written by John Swartzwelder and directed by Jim Reardon.
Their names we know. Good stock, as we used to say.
It has a number of guest stars. Roger Clemens, Wade Boggs, Ken Griffey Jr., Steve Sex, Ozzy Smith, Jose Canseco, Don Mattingly, Daryl Strawberry, and Mike Socha.
I always thought it was Sosa until I saw the credits, and it's like S-C-I-R-S.
I think it might actually be Sosa.
Yeah, but like it's spelled S-C-I-O-S-C-A.
S-C-I-A.
Not even close. Not even close. Delrin.
The episode is often named among the show's best and was the first to beat The Cosby Show in the ratings on its original airing. In 2014, showrunner Al Jean selected it as one of the five essential episodes in the show's history, which is one of the reasons why we're covering it, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's the big one that we haven't covered.
Yeah.
Or, like, one of...
Now, there
is... It probably is the biggest one that we haven't covered, right?
I think so, because it's probably the standout one from season three, like, the most memorable. A little bit of the production by Marshall Talmadge. I beat you to it.
Mid-yawn.
It took a long time to produce. Swartzwelder was a big baseball fan, but it was suggested by Sam Simon, who wanted an episode filled with real Major League Baseball players. They doubted they'd be able to get nine players, thinking they'd be able to get three at best. But they succeeded, and the nine players who agreed to guest star were recorded over a period of 6 months. Jeez. Whenever they were playing the LA Dodgers or the California Angels, they each recorded their part in roughly 5 minutes and spent the next hour writing autographs for the staff.
Nice.
Now, all the players were cooperative except for Jose Canseco, who Al Jean considered intimidating. He disliked his original part and insisted it be rewritten, and the writers grudgingly made him as heroic as possible. So he's like rescuing the cat and the baby.
Yeah.
No way. Perfect to the writers for making it work. It does work.
Also, now that you mention it, I'm like, it works the least amount of all the stories.
Probably,
yeah. Like,
he was originally slated to wake up in bed with Edna Krabappel and miss the game in a parody of Bull Durham. But Canseco's then wife, Esther Haddad, objected. He disliked his character's caricature, saying the animation looked nothing like him, but said he found the acting was very easy.
This guy.
When asked in 2007 about his part, he responded, "That was 100 years ago." Hung up the phone and did not answer any of the newspaper's subsequent calls.
Yeah, what do you want?
Ken Griffey Jr. became frustrated while recording his line, "There's a party in my mouth and everyone's invited," because he had trouble understanding it. He was directed by Mike Rice and his father, Ken Griffey Sr., also present. Roger Clemens, who made his own chicken noises, was directed by Jeff Martin, as was Wade Boggs. Okay.
Maybe we should just get into it now, like in terms of the performances. Or like, have you got anything else there?
Two very quick things. One is that they redid the talking softball, talking with the talking baseball, one or the other. Yeah. They swapped the lyrics of the popular song. One of the hardest pieces of editing was the hypnotist segment, which featured several of the guest stars speaking in unison. It was difficult because the parts were recorded over a period of 7 months, so it was hard to sync their voices. All the things that you'd never even consider, you know.
But I guess it would. Like, you're somebody, like, if you're laying 10 audio tracks on top of each other, like, yeah.
But anyway, and the last thing, many of the player designs were difficult because the animators had a hard time designing real-world people during the early seasons.
I mean,
which is interesting.
They don't look bad per se.
No, I don't think so.
I thought it looked good. Like,
I wouldn't have known it had all those problems.
No.
But anyway, shall we get into it?
Just while we're on it, because we're talking about the guest stars. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite performance of the guest stars?
Let me see. Who do we have? I quite like Ken Griffey Jr.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if I have a favorite, though. How about you? I had two.
I had Mattingly.
What happened to him?
Where he's like, he's the one with the sideburns.
Oh, yeah.
But like, even where he's like, Smithers shows up and he's like, "Are you Don Mattingly?" He's like, "Yes, come on, come in."
Yeah.
You're like, he's wearing the gloves and all. And Wade Boggs.
Wade Boggs is great.
Where he's like, "You got yourself a player." And like, just hops over the fence. And then
but the most, like,
the way he says, "Pitt the Elder," the second. So I say it's Lord Palmer's. Like,
yeah,
like, "Pitt the Elder." Like, "Lord Palmer's," like, "Pitt the Elder."
"And I say England's greatest prime minister was Lord Palmerston."
"Pitt the Elder."
"Lord Palmerston."
"Pitt the Elder."
"Okay, you asked for it, Boggs."
Yeah, that's showing him, Bonnie. "Pitt the Elder."
"Lord Palmerston."
His delivery of that, like, I just thought was, for some reason, it just stood out to me. I was like, "Oh, that's very good."
I had thought that about a few of them. I was thinking, Jesus, they're all doing a pretty good job voice acting. Like, usually when they get sports, like, particularly male sports stars, they're usually not great. Like, unless they've already got like a bit of personality, but like, just like the greats, they don't always translate into like great actors. But I thought they all did like a really, they were either very well directed or they just were very talented anyway.
Like the Daryl Strawberry stuff,
yeah,
like, was very good.
It's funny, like, it's got timing to it, and it's
tonally, it's perfect. They all know what lane they're in, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they all, they're not like, it all fits.
What I loved about the episode, one of the things that makes the episode for me, and we'll dissect the episode as it goes on, but the way, the creative ways that they were scouted, first of all, by Skinner, and all the different scenarios Smithers. That he had to go to get them. Smithers, who did I say?
Skinner.
Oh, no, Smithers, I meant. And then the way they all eventually miss the game, like, it's just so, like, original. Like, each one is so different.
Yeah.
But they all work.
Yeah. Like, maybe we should go before, like, we can go through it when we get to the point where Smithers is getting everybody. But,
go on.
What I will say is, what I found with this episode was it was cartoony.
Yes.
But in the best possible way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was cartoony, but, like, it was the way it should have been. Like, this, you know what I mean? Like, in terms of...
Yeah.
It's not cartoony in, like, Homer goes to space. It was cartoony in that, like, the way Mr. Burns talked.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
it was a little bit... You could see the difference between that and, like, a season... Even a season four, but, like, I was going to say season five.
It was, like, the right... It was the perfect sweet spot. Like, you know, it wasn't too self-aware...
Yeah.
Of its, you know, like how big a show it was, or you're not, there's very little winking to the camera. I don't know, it just feels like really earnest.
It felt a lot purer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it felt like they're still kind of, by season three, are they on the come up? Like, are they obviously from season one, really, they were very well known.
But like season three, season
three was more when adults started to take notice.
Yeah, like you can see that, like, more episodes are being shaped around Homer and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, and this one in particular is probably one of the first.
The family are non-existent, pretty much.
Yeah, like, they're just literally in the bleachers.
Yeah,
but yeah, like the first note I have here, and again, if I've skipped over it, tell me. But the whole thing of just the softball when they're talking about it in the cafeteria.
When Homer's like scarfing those donuts, man.
I know. That's a real season three scarf.
Donuts. He starts choking. Like, hey, Homer's choking again. There was a weird thing about Lenny and Carl here. Like, they weren't.
I think they were extra Lenny and extra Carl.
I don't think they were. I think they were like, they hadn't. They were like OG Lenny and Carl. And it was like, they're kind of like jerks. As opposed to they hadn't developed that, like, personality yet, you know? It was just the voices as opposed to the actual colour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I did like when Homer's like, he's like, I have a secret weapon. And you just hear Lenny like, I've been holding out on us, huh? Like, just these little lines, like yes.
Yeah. But even then, like, it was like Homer's choking on the thing. He's like, somebody scare him. He's like, that's for hiccups. And then it's like, hey, look at that. Like the Heimlich maneuver. Softball starting up. Like, softball? Like, who's in?
Yeah, like, very cartoonish that bit as well. Yeah, the spit out.
Yeah.
But yeah, when he's talking about, like, the secret bat, and he's like, so I put my homemade football on hold. You know, like, just a bunch of, like, I don't even know what it was.
But, like, even, like, this is how, like, the sweet spot that they're in, where it's like, I got locked out of the house, so I covered myself with some sheet metal and ran under the biggest tree I could find. Like,
and the music, what's that from?
It's
that
The movie? Natural, like
The Natural, yeah. Right? But just them, every time he opens the case,
I don't know if you've ever seen it. I think it's Redford. Robert Redford is, The Natural, and like, it's that when he hits the home run, he goes into the lights and all the lights explode around.
Oh, right.
You know, like, they did it in another episode.
I've seen it.
I think they did it in the episode where Homer goes on hunger strike in the baseball field, and remember, like, all the things start exploding around.
Yeah.
Like, that's a ripoff of The Natural, where it's like, he needs to hit this home run. He hits it so hard into the lights, all the other lights explode, and he's running around, like, taking the home run, you know. But, like, it's just these, like, flares and glass, and that music is playing. You're like, wow, Hollywood. Like,
oh yeah, I've seen yeah, that scene. Yeah. Now that you're describing yeah. it, yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
You know, very I think good. Like Redford has like, because they're still wearing the caps. Like, yeah. you know, that's the period they're playing. Like, he's taking the cap off and all. Like,
oh, yeah, brilliant.
You know, that's what
I want to see that now.
Yeah,
God, I love a good sports movie.
Absolutely, man. I love a good sports episode.
We should do eventually what's so great about sports movies.
Already right. in the
okay,
you know,
yeah, okay.
I all mean, right. there's a recent one that I watched that was fucking brilliant with Ben Affleck. It's called The Way Back, where he's like an alcoholic.
Classic.
He's like an alcoholic, and like he goes and coaches his high school basketball team. Like he used to play, he used to be really good, and like right. the local priest asked him to come and coach or whatever, and I was like, it's kind of like something like, I don't know if you're a Coach Carter fan.
I'm a massive Coach Carter fan.
Yeah,
of course.
But this is like, you know, like Coach Carter is not a fuck up.
Yeah,
like, and
he's a fuck up.
This guy's a fuck up, but it's very similar vibes in that, like,
I'd like to see that.
It's fucking deadly, man. I was like,
yeah, I like that.
Great,
I'm into that.
You know me, I'm a huge fan of the Fleck, and it was a great fucking
big,
performance.
Big Flexman.
Yeah.
Can I? Do you have the script in front of you? There was a line that I thought was great, where they were talking about like,
what could it be?
When they were talking about like the innings in the
beer.
Yeah, I didn't catch it all at the time, but it was just
okay. Like, so the umpire, like, he's like, let's go with the ground rules. You can't leave first until you chug a beer. Any man scoring has to chug a beer. You have to chug a beer at the top of all odd number innings. Oh, and the fourth inning is the beer inning. It's like, why not play softball?
I love that. And I love this Chief Wiggum, who is a little bit more like authoritative.
Yeah,
like when something good happens and all the men in the dugout start shooting, he's like, man, stop that. Yeah. it's not even clever. It's just him being like,
yeah, somebody has to be like this.
Yeah,
you know,
stop that.
By season 9 there wouldn't be any of that, like,
yeah, yeah. He'd be the one.
I did like the line where Bart is like, wow, how many home runs are you going to hit with that? He's like, let's see, play 30 games, 10 at bats a game, 3,000.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
My next note was just, God, I loved baseball movies as a kid. But
were you a big Field of Dreams head?
No, I was more of a Sandlot kid.
Yeah, or Rookie of the Year.
Yes, now you're talking my language.
Daniel Stern. Daniel Stern in the great 90s up until he didn't.
Is that his name, Daniel Stern?
Daniel Stern is Marv.
Kevin. Oh, okay.
No, Kevin. Ugh, who knows?
He did not have a great... But he actually had a good 90s. He didn't have a great few decades after that.
No, but Daniel Stern is...
I got it.
Is, I just remember him getting like locked in the cabinet. Back, not the cabinet, but like the... It's like a
in
kid,
which one?
In Rookie of the Year, like he's part of the team that is like help. You know, he's like his only friend on the team. And then it's like...
He's great.
Daniel
Where
Stern,
is he?
He gets like locked in a cage, in the batting cage. So like he misses the whole game at the end. And when everything starts going mental, he's just like shaking on the cage. We're like, yeah! You can hear it on the radio.
I'd love to see him more. I want to see that. I want to see... What was that other one that he was in?
Celtic Pride,
of course.
Him and Aykroyd.
Come on.
Damon Wayans.
Man,
we took Damon Wayans for granted, didn't we?
We really did.
Yeah, like, what are you looking at, ass?
Man, I remember Major Payne was, as a kid, one of the funniest things I think I'd ever seen. Now, like, it doesn't hold up as much now, but as a kid, I just remember thinking, like, this is like... Like, if you've seen this was on, if it, like a miracle just happened and it's just on TV, which it rarely was, but you'd just be like, oh my, like, I can't even believe it.
I just remember the video scene, video case. Video scene was our local video.
With his profile, like.
Yeah, and like.
And all the other cadets down the line. Yeah.
Yeah. You know? He kind of had him in, like. You think about it though, like he was like an action star as well in the 90s. Like he was in The Last Boy Scout, he was in
Bulletproof.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we're talking
Archie Moses.
It's because I got a plate in my head.
You will always be my bodyguard. Like, what's your man's name? I'm trying to think what like Damon Wayans' character's name was, but like he's like, you'll always be my bodyguard.
I can't remember what it was. Just when he's singing with Houston in the shower, the gun just right in the in between his cheeks. Can you get that thing out of my ass? They don't write him like that anymore.
Oh, no, they don't. Sound like
my next note was just, I love the world of Springfield around this time because you've got like, as they're traveling,
I love this. Yeah, like East Springfield, Fort Springfield, like
Springfield Heights.
Yeah,
and all this sort of stuff, and then like the Springfield Trade Center. They're up in like that building that they're all in was like also in Springfield. Yeah. Like I love that Springfield is just this metropolis that's also got all these different sort of. It's like the size of Texas or something.
Like the whole thing. Even before we get to that, the end of the first game where it's like Homer takes out the bat.
Yeah.
And like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, Carl is like not quite Carl. Or he hasn't, they haven't developed him into what it would be, where it's like, that's it? A homemade bat? He's like, it's a magic bat. He's like, oh, I got an enchanted jock strap. Like, okay. Like,
yeah, jerk.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, he's just being very hard, like, isn't he? But when Homer like hits the home run, and like they're watching it then on the TV, the slow mo, that's so good. Like he's like, you can both get me a beer, kids. And it's like, let's watch it in slow mo, just like the jiggle, like.
And you know what? I love this. I love like Homer getting this moment of like one. Getting the home run with his wonder bat, and then his kid's been like, I want to get him a beer.
Like for once he's just, winning,
and they're watching it with him, like he's just basking in something really good that's happened, and like it doesn't happen to him. But a
like
lot.
Also as well, then like the rest of the team are like bringing their own magic bats, like as in like Homer has inspired us, like you know he's high status for once in this little bubble or whatever, but like.
Absolutely. I think that's what makes it sort of
so endearing so lasting as well.
The next note that I have here is just, I guess this is when Burnsy and this other tycoon.
Yeah, John Lovitz wasn't available. Like,
who did they get?
I don't know, but like John Lovitz had done the voice previous.
Oh, had he?
Yeah.
The guy who does the Shelbyville.
Yeah. Because remember when Homer pulls a Homer that episode, and he gets invited to Shelbyville to go to do what he did. John Lovitz is the voice of him, of the owner in that episode, and then Homer does the eeny meeny miny mo thing.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh, how did I forget that?
I just pulled a Homer.
And then you have Burns afterwards with Smithers, and you already get Smithers like affection for Burns. He's like, is it wrong to cheat to win $1 million?
Yes, sir.
I'll rephrase that. Is it wrong if I cheat to win $1 million bet?
No, sir. Who would you like killed? He's so chipper. Like, who would you like killed?
Just like that. And the
Burnsy listing the players.
The team.
He's like, with names like Honus Wagner and Molokai Three Finger Brown. It's like, in fact, your right fielder has been dead for 130 years. Like, what?
Has been dead for 130
like, what,
years.
What, Matts? How does Burns even know about him? Burns 104, like...
he died 30 years before Burns was born. And then Burns...
The line here as well, like, which showed you how old Burns was. He's like, scour the American leagues, the National Leagues, the Negro leagues.
It's like, geez.
Yeah. But that's what it was back in America. Like, it was a separate thing. You know? He's like, and Smithers, you have 24 hours.
And then when you get the Smithers just going through, Smithers, like, I just love how different.
Each
like,
one,
it'd be very easy.
So creative.
Just to be like, or to round up like three or at this convention or something. But each one, I can't even think of each one, but I don't know if you have it there, but just.
So, like, the first one is Jose Canseco. And it's like, it's an autograph session. He's like, would you like 50,000 to play in one game? He's like, well, it's a pay cut, but what the hey? It sounds like fun. Yeah. It's like an autograph signing. And then the next one, like, he's in the woods and he gets, like, shot at by Mike Socha.
Oh, yeah.
And then he wishes he was doing something a little bit more blue collar with big machines and cool dials and stuff, like an oil refinery or hydroelectric plant. I mean, that's really Love good. He had a really good line reading as well.
Yeah, he did.
Ozzie Smith, that Graceland, I thought was good.
Yeah, and then, yeah, like, he was great.
Don Mattingly doing the dishes, I thought that was brilliant. Like, come in, come in. And then, like, Steve Sachs performing the Steve Sachs trio.
Love that.
And he spins the cello. He's like, sure.
He's like, and he asked him, he's like, would you like to play one game in a whatever power plant softball league? He's like, would I? You know, like, it's just so, like no follow-up question.
And then it's like, at the meeting, Burns introduces security guard Roger Clemens, janitor Wig Boggs, lunchroom cashier Ken Griffey Jr., and then we'll find jobs for the rest of these ones, yeah. Like, you know.
And I love that he's like, "Oh, look, the tryouts for the softball team, or yeah, you know, like, or the signups." And I love the fact that your man doesn't even want
Mike
to do
Socha.
It. Mike Socha, like, not for me.
I'm here to work about the solid contaminant encapsulator. He's like, "One more outburst like that, and I'll send you back to the big leagues."
I love that.
But even the whole thing, they're like, you with them here, you won't need us. Like, well, duh. It's like,
yeah,
very cartoony.
It's very un-Simpsons like.
Yeah,
that
but I kind of liked it. I kind of dug it though.
Yeah,
as
I liked
well.
It. Like, it just it looked, it was a different kind of. It's like, remember when Homer was whacking the snakes, practicing whacking the snakes for the Whacking Day episode, and it was very like, what's this animation?
Yeah, like this is very vignette, like, almost like, yeah.
You expect to see like Tweety birds going around his head, like that sort of animation.
You get the meme.
The Daryl Strawberry. He's like, I play right field too.
There's something about like Homer being like, you're Daryl Strawberry. He's like, yes.
You're Daryl Strawberry.
Yes.
You play right field.
Yes.
I play right field too.
So?
Well, are you better than me?
Well, I never met you, but yes.
Like the way he says yes, like even his delivery of like.
It's like a lot of them really get like the comedy of it, like, you know.
It's not bored, it's not tired, but it's just like flat enough that it's like
it's zero consideration of
like
of what,
yeah, what
it's gonna mean to him.
Yeah, he's like, yeah,
yeah, it's like, are you better than me? He's like, well, I don't know you, but yes.
That's it. I never met you.
Yes.
I never met you, but yes.
Yeah. It's that yes. What else have we got here? Oh, now I don't know what I was referencing here. Oh, it was Bart at the table where Homer's giving out about, you know, how they're not going to get picked because all these major league guys are in. And just Bart piping up, like, you make me sick, Homer.
He's like, well, now that you're a bit older, I can tell you it's a crock. No matter how good you are at something, there's always about a million people better than you. He's like, gotcha. Can't win. Don't try.
Yeah. I like that summary.
Lectures everybody. They'll have to earn their place on the team. Me. Whether you're Daryl Strawberry, a Mike Socha, or Smithers. What's one of the bad players' name? Like Homer Simpson. I wouldn't mind. Like, Homer's been their leading hitter the whole time.
I know.
It's like, Homer Simpson, sir.
Or I just love those little side things to Smithers. Yeah. Like, Smithers, what's the name of this gastropod? You know, like, just these little, like, every time it's something different.
And then he gives the brain tonic.
Yeah,
rather than beer.
It's a real Burnsy thing to do. Like, he would have tonic.
Yeah, and like he's wearing like, but like also like the balls on him to just be like stepping in for the final. I'm taking over. I know best. Like, this guy who has no clue about
Burnsy.
Sports. Yeah, like,
of course. Yeah, classic Burnsy. I love the animation as well when they were going through the different things and Burns is showing him how to do it and
Let
he has
me.
The bat.
Yeah.
And it's just the speed
so
at which he
funny.
Flies.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like...
You get the hypnosis thing. That was it was good.
I'm doing it good.
Yeah,
job.
The voice.
I think that all the time. Yeah. What were they saying that the... one of the hardest pieces of editing is the hypnotist segment.
When
he's
like, that's impossible. No one can give more than 110%. Or more than 100%, it's by definition. I tell you, the bit where he's like, Homer's like, I got it. And it's a fly ball. Daryl Strawberry just like jumps out of the screen. Like,
he literally just flies up and he's up for so long before you hear the little catch and he flies back down.
And then like Homer complains. Burnsy's like, Simpson. He's like, some of these players got a bad attitude, Skip. That little touch of him being a lick ass.
He's a suck up.
he doesn't need to.
Skip.
He doesn't need to be like.
That's why Strawberry, every time.
Socia is like pulling the goop. He's like, that's a great little touch as well. He's like, oh, when you're in the majors, any mistake you make is just pounced on. And then like he spills the goop. He's like, don't worry about it. He's like, is this ever sweet?
I love Socia in this.
They're all really good. I'm trying to think. There's nobody really bad. Maybe you can say go now after hearing that. Like,
I like him a lot less now after hearing that.
But the Bart and Ralph choosing sides.
That was great. Just and that animation is like, I don't know if it's an animation thing or an editing thing, but just the timing of how when Bart would just pick like Milhouse. As he's finished saying it, another one walks right on screen.
I just love that delivery. Like, Wade Boggs, will you be on my team, Mr. Boggs? You got yourself
a player.
He just like scales over the fence. Like, Burns wants Mattingly to get rid of his sideburns. That's a great joke as well. That he doesn't have any sideburns.
That's one of the classic like Simpsons jokes.
Yeah.
And I love, just a note for the look of the baseball field at night. It was like a purpley orange sky. That's what I remember. Like, when I think of Homer at the bat, I'm thinking of this sort of
there is one scene where he's like
dusk
and he's like tomorrow is the big day or whatever,
like
that scene there. Homer stepping up to the bat with Wonder Bat, he's like, they don't have Wonder Bat. And like Clemens just like burning a hole through it, like
brilliant. One of my favorite jokes, and I don't know exactly, you might have it there, when Burns is saying to Smithers how like he's like, unless all my nine,
that's the
stars.
Thing, he's like, he's like, three catastrophes, that's possible, seven catastrophes, well, that,
but nine, I'd like to see that, like, unless my nine stars happen to have nine separate misfortunes, and just like the way,
three misfortunes, that's possible, seven misfortunes, there's an outside chance, but nine misfortunes.
Brilliant.
Homer, when he's like, did I make the team? He's like, Clemens, did I make the team? He's like, you sure did. He's like, woohoo, like, in your face, Strawberry. He's like, wait a minute, are you Ken Griffey Jr.? Like, no, sorry, didn't mean to get your hopes up. Like, they've obviously played against each other, you know, tons of times. Like,
straight away he's like, you sure did.
Again, so like flat, direct. That's what makes it so funny. They're not trying to be like.
Is this just an episode that should be shown to people for like, this
guest
is how you
stars.
Direct
yeah.
non professionals?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they really did it. I mean, maybe we're doing the actual like athletes a disservice. Maybe most of them were just good on their own, but like. Surely they'd need, because they've got some really good timing good, like, you know, like that whole, even like, well, I never met you, but
yes,
you know, like just knowing to deliver that yes as an equally monotone as the other yeses. I don't know if they edited that in,
it
or if
be,
you know what
that
I mean?
Could but, be it as well, like, but like,
yeah, they just kept it again, but I don't know,
like, so
but you, yeah, really good.
You get that whole thing where it's like the as soon as he says nine misfortunes, I'd like to see that, it cuts to like
then they start
Steve Sachs. And like he's
that
put,
was
that's
this is
so
my favorite
funny.
One.
He's like, oh, from New York. I hear there's an unsolved murder in New York. He's like, they never found the guy, neither. He's like,
but hundreds. There are hundreds of unsolved murders.
He's like, you don't know when to shut your mouth, do you, sexy boy?
Sexy boy. Sexy.
Yeah.
That is brilliant. Yeah. And I just love that. Like, you never see the Springfield cops being like that.
Yeah,
like,
but like it's
other,
kind
but
of real
so
prophetic.
Corrupt.
It's real prophetic. It's like, oh yeah, like this is like you could see this happening in any small town in America. Now it's way we're way more aware of it. Like,
but the, yeah, it's just the inventiveness of how they went about like
the Mike Socia then is next, where it's can't lift arm, yeah. or speak at normal rate. And then it's like, Dr. Ken Griffey Jr. And he's like, my God. God
but the one with Sosha as well, where he's like, will I be able to play tomorrow? And like the way he laughs, like, no, by tomorrow you'll barely be able to breathe.
Oh, oh man.
Yeah, and then Ken Griffey's got gigantism.
Yeah, Kentaro was being the hero is the next thing. Like, I did like where it's like he goes and gets the cat, and she's like, my player piano. He's like, and like just like pulling the collar
the thing up over him.
Goes back in. Like,
you have Wade Boggs gets punched out by Barney
again.
I guess.
Pit the Elder. The second Pit the Elder is just the way he delivers it.
What's the... Who's the one who goes into the...
Ozzie
mystery?
Smith?
Yeah.
Well...
It's like, once you go in, you may never come out.
Yeah. He's like, oh, one voice. Please. And then he's like... You imagine he's like... It's like, what, this is what he does? Like...
Just this pop-up place out of nowhere that sends you into some parallel universe.
And like they cut back to like Steve Sachs in the jail, and it's like, I think we can close the book on every unsolved crime in our city. He's like, hey, don't look at the comma, lawyer. He's like, you watch too many movies, Sex.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
So then I think, it's Mattingly, like Burnsy gets rid of Mattingly.
For not trimming the sideburns.
Well, he first tells him to go trim them.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, where is everybody? And like Smithers goes through where it's like, Mike Socha, you know, whatever, you know, Steve Sachs is serving 6 consecutive life sentences. but then like Mattingly comes back.
Mattingly! I thought I told you to trim those sideburns! Go home! You're off the team for good!
Fine. Still like him better than Steinbrenner.
You're off the team. Love that delivery.
I love it.
And then I love like Mattingly as well. Like, I still like him better than Steinbrenner.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
And like, all right, you don't like me and I don't like you. You know, this, but you're all I've got.
And Homer's about to go, it's like, your position still has its player or whatever like that. Like, of course, Strawberry is still there.
But even the kids being like, Daryl, and it's like...
Love that.
It's like it just rolls off their back. It's like the little tear, like...
And your man, the guy in the crowd's like, hey, you want peanuts? I got peanuts here. Just hitting them in the face.
One of them hits a car in the parking lot. So,
people are just getting like, mushed with them.
Like, I was thinking about that, like, what, like... It doesn't add anything to the story or anything, but it's just like, we need a joke here.
Yeah.
How about a peanut vendor who just is terrible at throwing peanuts? And,
is not listening to anyone who wants them. Yeah. He's just throwing them randomly and hitting people.
It's really. Like so good.
And then, so Strawberry is doing amazing, but Burnsy brings in Homer like at the last, for the last... pitch, bottom of the ninth.
But it's so funny. It's such a funny reason as well. It's like, game's tied, bottom of the ninth, bases are loaded, 2 outs, and Strawberry's due to bat. And he's like, hey, Strawberry. He calls him in. He's like, hit the showers. He's like, you're pitch hitting for me? He's like, yes, it's
cool. I have 9 home runs today.
Like, and you see, like, when he hits the thing, he's like hitting it into traffic, like downtown Springfield or whatever. It's like,
so they get,
but he is right handed, So then Burns,
he's left handed,
Burns going through the things with Homer, and like, first of all, like, they have it, like, you're taking in everything he's saying, and Homer's like, yes, and then like it cuts to Homer, it's like, Oh, man, I don't know what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's like, I wish you'd just let me go play bat, like, go to bat or whatever. But, like, that delivery of, like, oh, no, I don't know.
Yeah, as he's talking, you know, this mad stuff, oh, no.
Yeah.
And then the voice, like, now batting for Daryl Strawberry, Homer Simpson.
If I want you to bunt, I'll twitch my belt not once, not twice, but thrice.
But thrice.
Yeah.
But I can take that away.
Yeah. He's like, I can cancel that with a little thing. What's he talking so about? And like, when you actually see what all these actions he's doing, like yeah, he's dancing.
The hips. Yeah. And all. Homer's busy looking at him and just gets like the knocked
sound,
unconscious.
The sound, like, burr.
Yeah. Yeah. And that one wins the game.
Hey.
And I kind of feel for Homer that he wasn't awake to enjoy the celebrations, you know.
This is the first time I was like, oh, that's a shame that he doesn't get to enjoy it. But like, you get, you know, talking softball.
What a great song. This may be one of the best Simpson songs.
I think it probably is.
It's so good.
It's a great song, but it fits the episode so. It's a perfect capper, you know what I mean? Like,
it is.
Well, Mr. Burns had done it. The power plant had won it.
So
Roger
good.
Clemens clucking all. That's the other thing. Roger Clemens, the chicken now. Like, yeah. And then, like, they're like, hey, go, Homer. Yeah, it's like, pock, 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 pock. You know, and he's going on. Like,
brilliant. But yeah, real capper to it. And normally, like, the song at the end is like, you know, it's fine. It's, you know, but it usually doesn't add more to it.
Well, that's the thing. It adds.
But like, this one really does add to it.
While Wade Bug laid unconscious on the barroom tile, we're talking softball.
Terry, should we get into ratings?
Please.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Let me ask you something, Mr. Scientist. What did you think of it? What's your final thoughts?
Classic. It is a classic episode. I was wondering like how I was going to feel about it. And it's undeniable.
It is undeniable.
It really is. Like, isn't it? Like, it's just
such a strong episode of TV.
Yeah. It really is. And like, when they're saying like, oh, top five of all time, I'm like, it shouldn't be the top five of all, like, because like, you don't know. If you were to say to somebody, here's five episodes of Simpsons that define the show.
Yeah.
This is like a, like, there's barely any other characters from the outside of, you know, the supporting crew. The family are barely in it. Like, you know, like, it is Homer and the stunt casting, but it's just, it's perfected. Like, it's the execution is so good. The jokes are really, really funny. Like, there's very little filler in it.
That's the thing. Like, it's very satisfying, and I would have been very dismissive when we started of season three, because I would have thought like in reality now I would think so, but like in reality, like, I'd probably laugh like more an episode like Bart's girlfriend or something. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of laughs for the whole episode. And that was why I was originally quite hesitant on season three. But I think what you don't get in like riotous laughter every 30 seconds, you get in just appreciation of a really well done episode. Yeah. You know, and it's like, it doesn't need to be that uproarious laughter all the time if you're still looking at it thinking, that's so good.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
There's
that's
nothing
really
in
good.
It that is like jarring. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Simpsons, sometimes you're like, whoa, what was that? Like,
yeah.
And, you know, but
absolutely zero
smooth,
fat.
Smooth episode. Like, and like, there's so many, like, genius, like, they're brimming with ideas. Like, that's what like,
and how do you get an episode so smooth with so many guest stars and so many,
like, untrained
actors,
like,
yeah, fit them all in and, you know, direct them to do really good job with the voiceovers, like, which probably had, like, made them way more endearing in even just in the real world. Like, people saying, oh, I loved you in The Simpsons or whatever. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't know if these guys were involved in it, but, like, you know, baseball has a huge steroid problem.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So, like, there's every chance that, you know, these guys could be involved in that. Like, but like you say, I don't care about that. I'm seeing, you know.
Yeah. I'm here for the comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
Who's your MVP, Terry?
It's a hard one. Uh, It's going to be one of the players.
Oh. Okay.
I think Mattingly.
Mattingly was the sideburns?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Mattingly. Maybe Daryl Strawberry, though. Like, honestly.
Strawberry was very good. Whenever he spoke,
yeah,
I did chuckle.
That's the thing.
You know?
Like,
I love his tone of voice or whatever it is.
Like, he hit nine home runs. Every scene he was in was a home run. Every scene he's talking in was a home run. Like, you know? Yeah. So I'm going to give it to Strawberry.
Strawberry's a great show.
Yes. No hustle, I'll skip.
That's right, Strawberry. Yeah. I'll give it... Who else have we got for the baseball players?
Like, who was brilliant in it as well. Like, if I wasn't giving it to Strawberry, I'd probably give it to Smithers.
Smithers was good.
Yeah, really good. Like,
Smithers was very good. I might play it safe and just go for Homer. I don't know. It's a hard one. I'll say Homer, just for the sake of moving things along. But
Burns, he was a bit too on in this episode, I found. He was very on, wasn't he? But like,
he wasn't the Burnsy that we... He was a bit too Grinchy Burnsy in this. You know,
he wasn't,
I mean,
like a hoi hoi Burnsy.
Yes.
You know?
What about your final rating?
I'm going to give this a 9.6.
Oh.
It's a very, very strong episode.
I will give it a 9.2. But yeah, niners.
I think about I probably have it in my top 10 of all time, maybe top 5. Like,
in terms of like enjoyable episodes that you just love sticking on and watching.
Yeah, but even like dissecting it, I'm like, oh man, like it's remarkable. It is a remarkable episode of television. Like, for something that is like just like. So throwaway. It's a softball game or whatever. Like, but like,
yeah.
And like I say, there's no real like world building for the rest of the town and that. But it's just, it's irrepressible.
It was perfect. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if anything could be perfect, but nearly perfect. I don't know what, but it was damn close to perfect.
Yeah.
I'm thoroughly enjoyed watching it.
I'm glad it holds up. I'm glad that it's not like.
That's the thing as well. From 1992, like, what else holds up that good from 1992? You know what I mean? Very little. Particularly comedy.
Yeah.
You know? Comedy is the one thing that I think... Yeah, okay, yeah.
That was 92 was like, what, season 3?
Yeah.
Maybe 4, thereabouts.
Kind of the same as The Simpsons, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, thoroughly enjoy that one now.
Good.
Nice blast from the past there to review a bit of Simpsons.
We got some plugging in, Andy.
Please. You can find us on... Okay, well. You can find us on Twitter at WSGAPod. And you can find us on Instagram at What's So Great About Pod. You find links to everything we do, our latest episodes, some Patreon freebies, and, of course, the Patreon itself.
Oh, the Patreon.
Yeah, the Patreon.
Now, Andy.
Yeah.
Over on the Patreon, we mentioned it last time, we have 2 tiers set up. Now, we got a pay at what you like tier. Those are our hungry hearts. And we have our big shots, which is $5 a month, $4.50 in euros. Ooh, and we don't know what it is in sterling.
We don't want to know.
And for either of those memberships, you get 4 bonus episodes per month, 1 a week. And it can range from, you know, we're doing like a top 5 video games of all time. This week we've done, like, you can get access to all of our previous What's So Great About stuff there. So like our MCU miniseries, our 90s action movie miniseries, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, Big Willy's Flops, aka Will Smith's Bagged Movies. You know, and we got a bunch of, like, we're doing a lot of top 5s. There's also, like... We made each other bespoke playlists, you know, Terry's emotional journey.
A lot of us trying to put our tastes on the other person and win them over. And sometimes it works.
What was the Patreon last week?
What was it?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Billy Joel, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
By the way, Springsteen won it on the Patreon by one vote. By one vote.
I mean,
I was surprised and happy to see. Yes, okay. And I was surprised and happy to see the love for Billy Joel come through.
I mean, I love
Patreon.
Billy Joel, you know that.
I know you do, yeah. But you know, from that particular one, I thought, well, it's going to be an absolute landslide.
That was a good bit of fun, huh? Though, like, just some good music being talked about.
Hell yeah! More of that on the Patreon.
Yes, but if you can't afford the Patreon, even though there's one that's literally pay what you want.
Yeah, you can pay whatever you can afford. Yeah. But
reason why we come up with that is because we think our best stuff is over there on the Patreon. We're a bit looser, a bit, you know. It's a lot of fun.
It's a good time.
And we came up with that so, like, we want people to hear it.
Yeah.
And you might say, why don't you put it on for free? Well, why don't you shut up? How about that?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So, if you can't afford it, you can do me a favor by getting me a rating or review. So, Andy. Mm-hmm. You said it yourself, Daryl Strawberry hit 9 home runs in a single game. Now, I'm not greedy. I don't need 9-star review. I need a 5-star review. Yeah. You can give it to us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, any of your podcatchers of choice.
Very impressed how you're able to think of a number from the episode very quickly.
There was one game they had, like, Springfield had scored like 33. And I was like, maybe I could do something with the 33, but it's, you know.
9.
Sometimes
9
simplicity is best.
Absolutely. K-I-S-S.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Exactly.
So like you can, you know, give us a rating review. That really helps grow the podcast. You can tag a friend on social media, tell a friend. You can just post about the podcast saying it's great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're great.
Yeah, yeah, all those things.
You know. It's free. This is free. You're getting free. It's free, you know.
It's kind of the least you could do. Yeah. I really feel like the last 10 to 15 minutes of this podcast is 100% shilling.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do it. Like,
we've given you the goods.
Yeah.
Now it's time to pay up.
This is a transactional business.
But
if you've made it this far.
Okay.
No?
I love you.
Oh. You've done the Lord's work. You've already got the love you from Andy. You get the big L from me behind the paywall. And otherwise, we will see you next week for TBD.
Yes, and now we will, eventually, we will get to the Wes Anderson series.
I think we have it penciled in for the 14th?
14th, yes, is when we'll start. Because we're getting a few things lined up here. We want it to be a really good season, and we're getting a few things lined up. So it requires us to not just come in and just plow through. We have to actually
set to give you a peek behind the curtain. Literally, we'll be texting. What are we doing this week? We'll sit down 5 minutes before we record, being like, "What's the levels like?" Okay, great. Let's get into it.
Let's go. Yeah, so. Zero consultation.
Yeah,
that's
why we like it.
Hey,
it's not all natural.
What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
On that note, folks, we will catch you next week. Have a great week in the meantime. And hey, I got nothing.
Goodbye.
Well, Mr. Burns had done it. The power plant had won it. With Roger Clemens clucking all the while. Mike Socia's tragic illness made us smile. While Wade Boggs lay unconscious on the barroom tile. We're talking softball, from Maine to San Diego. Talking softball, Mattingly and Canseco. Ken Griffey's grotesquely swollen jaw. Steve Sachs and his running with the law. We're talking Homer, Ozzie and the Straw. Talking softball, from Maine to San Diego. Talking softball, Mattingly and Canseco. Ken Griffey's grotesquely swollen jaw. Steve Sachs and his running with the law. We're talking Homer, Ozzie and the Straw.